Right now, inside, I think it's like 95% of the top global software companies, there is this invisible employee working around the clock.
Literally around the clock.
No breaks.
Yeah, no lunch breaks. It doesn't sleep. And it's executing these incredibly complex internal workflows, analyzing, 10 years of financial data in just a matter of seconds.
Even directly negotiating with customers, which is still wild to me.
Right. And the crazy part is, just 2 years ago, this entity didn't even exist. So today, we are looking at a staggering transformation in how human beings and enterprise systems actually interact to get work done.
It really is a profound structural shift. I mean, we are moving away from software that simply stores our work to software that actively participates in it.
Exactly. Welcome to today's deep dive. For this one, we are pulling from a massive February 2026 industry report published by Technigean News.
Yeah, they specialize in enterprise AI.
Right, and they just released this verified breakdown regarding the explosive adoption of Google's Gemini Enterprise AI platform. And I mean, the numbers they've brought to the table are genuinely historic.
They really are. They map out a timeline that kind of forces us to reevaluate how quickly legacy enterprises can actually pivot when the financial incentive is strong enough.
Totally. But to be clear with you listening right now, our mission today isn't just to, read off a list of impressive user statistics.
Nobody wants that.
Right. Whether you are prepping for a tech strategy meeting or trying to figure out your own team's software architecture, or honestly, if you're simply trying to survive the sheer information overload of modern work, we want to decode the underlying mechanics here.
We need to explain why this specific platform is being adopted faster than almost anything in the history of enterprise software.
Exactly. And more importantly, we want to look at how this shift toward what the industry is calling AI agents is going to completely rewire your daily workflow. So, okay, let's unpack this.
The best place to start is probably by grounding ourselves in the data, because the sheer scale of this deployment proves we are looking at a permanent market reality, not just, the latest tech fad.
Yeah, the growth curve here is just difficult to wrap your head around. So, as of Q4 2025, Gemini has officially hit 750 million monthly active users.
Which is huge.
It's massive. And to put that timeline in perspective for you, they were at 650 million just one quarter earlier.
Wow.
Yeah. In April of 2025, they were at 350 million. And when this initially launched in late 2023, it had a mere 7 million users.
7 million to three quarters of a billion in just over 2 years.
It's exponential. And they are rapidly closing the gap with ChatGPT, which currently sits at an estimated 810 million users.
Right. And while the raw user count is impressive, I mean, the enterprise penetration is the metric that actually dictates the future of the market here. Over 120,000 enterprises have integrated this.
Yeah, including 95% of the top 20 global SaaS companies. But here is this statistic from the report that I think translates this from a boardroom abstraction into your actual tangible work life.
Oh, the time savings.
Exactly. Technician notes that enterprise users are seeing an average of 105 minutes of weekly time savings.
That's nearly 2 hours a week.
Right, 2 hours given back to the employee. If you scale that across a company of, say, 10,000 employees, you are suddenly looking at over 17,000 hours of recaptured productivity every single week.
What's fascinating here is that this specific metric, those 105 minutes, is the exact mechanism changing the conversation for corporate leadership.
How so? Like mathematically?
Yeah, mathematically. CFOs aren't just, guessing about the value of generative AI anymore. They have a really straightforward equation now. They take the licensing cost of the AI platform and they weigh it against 2 hours of saved payroll per employee per week.
Oh, wow. So it's a direct, hard ROI calculation?
Exactly. The Technigean report cite this highly illuminating case study with Elanco, a massive leader in the animal health sector. By implementing Vertex AI and Gemini for their core everyday business processes, they didn't just save some time.
Right.
They achieved a hard, verifiable $1.9 million return on investment.
Nearly $2 million in concrete ROI. I mean, that fundamentally shifts the narrative from, hey, AI is a cool research tool, to AI is a fiduciary responsibility.
Precisely. And when you multiply that kind of financial impact across those 120,000 enterprises, you see the mechanism driving Google Cloud's massive 34% year-over-year revenue growth.
Which just brought them to $15.2 billion, right?
Yep. The software is basically paying for itself by structurally lowering the cost of operations.
Okay, so if Google has essentially built a system that generates that much verified enterprise value, the question isn't just how fast it's growing, but how it's structurally achieving this.
Right, we have to look under the hood.
Yeah, because having established the speed of adoption, here's where it gets really interesting. The report breaks down what makes this mechanically different from just another chatbot.
Because a standard chatbot cannot generate a $1.9 million ROI on its own. It requires a completely different architectural approach.
And a huge piece of that architecture is the engine's memory capacity, right?
Yeah.
Gemini 3.1 Pro features what Google calls a 2 million token context window.
Which sounds like jargon, but it's crucial.
Yeah, so let's visualize what that actually means. Imagine you're trying to solve a massive, complex jigsaw puzzle. A standard AI model or an older generation chatbot has a working desk the size of, like, a dinner plate.
Okay, a dinner plate.
Right. It can only look at a few puzzle pieces at a time. To understand the whole picture, it has to keep swapping pieces in and out of its limited memory, often forgetting what the top left corner looked like by the time it reaches the bottom right.
Right. That is the core limitation of early generative AI. It had severe amnesia.
Exactly. But a 2 million token context window is like upgrading from a dinner plate to a gymnasium floor. You can lay out the entire puzzle at once.
I love that analogy. Because 2 million tokens is roughly 1.5 million words.
Which is huge.
It is. That means you could drop an entire company's 10-year history of legal contracts, plus thousands of pages of financial records, into the system in a single prompt.
Wait, all at once?
All at once.
Yeah.
And you instantly see how, say, a clause in a 2018 vendor agreement connects to a supply chain disruption in 2025.
That's incredible.
The ability to ingest that much context simultaneously changes the fundamental nature of the software. It upgrades the system from a simple text generator to a true reasoning engine.
Because it can see the whole board.
Exactly. When it can see the entire gymnasium floor, it can identify causal relationships and contradictions that a human team might spend 6 months trying to audit.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate for a second here. Let's push back on this architecture. Because if this is Google's proprietary platform, doesn't that inherently mean you're trapped inside the Google ecosystem?
Ah, the walled garden concern?
Right. Like, sure, an infinitely smart reasoning engine is great if my company lives inside Google Docs and Gmail all day. But most large enterprises run their finances on SAP, their sales on Salesforce, and their internal comms on Slack.
Yep. They're highly fragmented.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't want to have to migrate my entire company's database just to use a smart AI.
And that was the exact strategic hurdle Google faced. The report highlights the mechanism they used to solve it, which is cross-platform connectors.
Okay. How do those work?
Unlike a strictly Microsoft-centric co-pilot approach that, you know, kind of prefers you stay within the Microsoft walls, Gemini utilizes secure application programming interfaces, or APIs, to act as a courier.
A courier?
Yeah, it authenticates into Salesforce, retrieves the necessary customer data, runs the reasoning in its own engine, and then pushes the result directly into Slack or Atlassian.
Oh, wow. So you aren't migrating your data to Google?
Not at all. Google is securely extending its reasoning engine into the software you already use.
So it's reading the data where it natively lives rather than forcing an IT department to build a massive redundant data lake inside Google Cloud. That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. But extending into all those systems and processing 2 million tokens per user requires an unimaginable amount of computational power.
I was just thinking about that. The server costs must be astronomical.
Right. We have to address how Google can afford to do this at a 750 million user scale without just going bankrupt. And the secret sauce is entirely in the hardware.
Okay.
Google is using custom-built TPUs, or tensor processing units.
As opposed to the GPUs, the graphics processing units, that most of the industry relies on, right? But what is the actual mechanical difference there that gives Google an edge?
It really comes down to architectural specialization. So, GPUs were originally designed for rendering complex, varied graphics. You know, calculating millions of polygons, lighting changes, and texture simultaneously for video games.
Right, they do a lot of different visual math at once.
They are incredibly powerful, but they are generalists. Neural networks, however, don't need to render lighting or polygons. They rely almost entirely on one specific type of math, which is matrix multiplication.
Okay.
A tensor processing unit is an application-specific integrated circuit. It is a chip hardwired to do nothing but matrix multiplication.
Oh, I see.
Because it strips away all the unnecessary graphical processing architecture, it performs the specific math of AI vastly faster, and crucially with much less electricity.
So while competitors are fighting over expensive, power-hungry third-party GPUs, Google is using its own in-house, hyper-specialized calculators.
Precisely. That cost advantage is what makes offering a 2 million token window to 750 million people financially viable.
That makes total sense. That underlying hardware efficiency is the foundation that makes the entire enterprise strategy possible.
It really is.
All right, so the technical specs, the TPUs, and the massive context windows, they are structurally impressive. But if you're listening to this, deep technical architecture doesn't mean much unless it translates to real-world business outcomes.
Right, the so what factor.
Exactly. This is where the Technogean report transitions us from how the engine works to what the engine actually does. And they introduce a concept that is critical to understand: the agent economy.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the agent economy represents the death of the ad hoc query.
The death of the ad hoc query. Do you mean we are moving away from the search engine model where I have to, like, prompt the AI for every single individual step of a task?
Yeah, precisely. For the last couple of years, our relationship with AI has been highly manual and conversational. You ask a question, you get an answer, you evaluate it, you ask for a revision.
You're basically acting as the project manager for the AI.
Exactly. But an agent, in this context, is an AI model equipped with two new capabilities, advanced planning and tool use.
Mm.
You don't ask it to write an email. You give it a goal, and it breaks that goal down into autonomous steps.
That is a massive shift. And the report highlights some case studies that show exactly how this works in practice, and they are wild. We aren't just talking about background IT optimization here. These agents are frontline revenue drivers.
Give us an example.
Take the Radisson Hotel Group. They built an agent for personalized advertising. It didn't just help write ad copy. It autonomously analyzed real-time variables like local weather or sudden flight cancellations and instantly generated and deployed thousands of hyper-localized ad variants.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It boosted their ad team's productivity by 50%, but more importantly, it directly drove a 20%+ growth in revenue.
Because the agent is doing the actual execution, not just the brainstorming. Lowe's is another perfect example of this mechanism in action.
Right, I saw that. Lowe's deployed an AI-powered home improvement advisor they call Milo. And again, this isn't just a chatbot answering what is a drywall anchor. Milo can analyze a customer's specific project parameters, cross-reference the live inventory of the customer's local retail store.
Which is key, the live inventory part.
Yes. And then it generates a customized step-by-step project guide with a direct purchasing list. It is acting as a personalized concierge.
And we see this across industries. The report notes Commerce Bank building a highly secure customer chatbot called Bene to autonomously handle complex banking inquiries that would normally require human routing.
Wow, even in banking.
Yeah. Telecom Italia deployed a voice agent that resulted in a 20% boost in customer service efficiency. Kroger is utilizing agents to generate highly personalized shopping experiences based on historical purchasing data.
It's everywhere.
It is. The organizations capturing disproportionate value right now are the ones abandoning generic, open-ended chatbots. They're building highly specific, purpose-built agents constrained to targeted workflows like procurement, compliance, or customer service.
And what's fascinating is that the report mentions the rise of an agent marketplace. Because if you think about it, not every hospital network or logistics company has the engineering talent to build a complex procurement agent from scratch.
They don't have to anymore. The marketplace allows enterprises to discover, deploy, and monetize pre-built agents.
Monetize them.
Yeah. If a top-tier accounting firm builds a flawless Gemini agent that perfectly audits quarterly tax filings across SAP and Salesforce, they can package that agent and license it to other companies.
Oh, wow.
It changes the fundamental dynamic of how enterprise software is bought and sold.
Which naturally brings up a really crucial point regarding a company's macro strategy. So what does this all mean for the CIO or the IT director listening to this?
It's a daunting landscape for them.
It has to be. Because if Gemini's architecture is this powerful and these agents are generating hard revenue, does that mean every business should just rip out their Microsoft and OpenAI contracts and go all in on Google?
It's a logical assumption, but the data in the report points to a very different and honestly much more complex reality.
Right. Technogean explicitly states that the market is definitively multi-platform. Over 80% of large enterprises are already running three or more AI model families concurrently.
Three or more.
Yeah. They have Microsoft Copilot running in Office, they have OpenAI powering custom apps, and they have Gemini analyzing their massive data sets. But I have to ask, how on earth is a company supposed to manage that without utter chaos?
It sounds like a nightmare, doesn't it?
It does. If you have three different autonomous reasoning engines securely reaching into your proprietary data, making decisions, and acting as agents, doesn't that become a massive security and operational nightmare?
This raises an important question, and it's exactly why Technegen highlights the extreme urgency of the current moment. The real battle in enterprise AI is no longer about picking one single winner between Google, Microsoft, and OpenAI.
Okay, what is it about them?
It's about API governance and secure infrastructure.
Governance, meaning controlling what the AI is actually allowed to see and do.
Yes. Now, the report notes that Google Workspace provides a very natural, low-friction on-ramp for enterprise adoption.
Sure.
If your company's already using Gmail and Google Docs, Gemini's integrations are seamless. That existing infrastructure is exactly why we are seeing a 75% AI adoption rate among existing Google Cloud customers.
That makes sense. The pipes are already there.
But simply turning the AI on is not enough. You need enterprise-grade architecture.
Right, because you can't just unleash a 2 million token reasoning engine into your company's network and hope it doesn't accidentally read the CEO's private acquisition emails.
Exactly, or violate European data privacy laws.
Right.
Precisely. You need strict role-based access controls. The AI should only be able to read the data that the specific human user prompting it is authorized to see.
That is so critical.
The warning from the Technegen consulting team is incredibly clear here. The window to establish a cohesive, secure AI strategy before the market completely matures is closing rapidly.
So companies need to figure this out yesterday.
Yeah. Businesses need unified frameworks to manage Copilot, ChatGPT, and Gemini simultaneously. They need robust data residency options to ensure their proprietary data isn't training public models.
Nobody wants their trade secrets in the public model.
Exactly. And they need immutable audit logs to track exactly how an agent arrived at a specific decision, especially in highly regulated industries like banking or healthcare.
It's essentially like managing a highly talented but incredibly diverse team of human contractors.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just give a new contractor the master keys to the entire building on day one.
Never.
You need clear boundaries, secure access badges, and performance metrics, or else everyone is just running in different directions.
Exactly. The organizations that will dominate the next decade are the ones figuring out how to govern a multi-platform AI environment safely, rather than the ones betting their entire company's operational future on a single vendor's ecosystem.
Right.
The infrastructure for measurement, security, and compliance is just as critical as the AI models themselves.
So, to pull all of this together for you listening, we've traced an incredible technological journey today.
We really have.
We started with the sheer momentum of a platform jumping from 7 million to 750 million users in 2 years, driven by the undeniable financial math of saving 105 minutes a week per employee.
Which is still a staggering stat.
Truly. Then we looked under the hood at how specialized hardware, those matrix multiplying TPUs, makes massive 2 million token context window financially viable.
Eating the whole library at once.
Exactly, eating the library. We explored how that memory capacity, combined with cross-platform connectors, transitions AI from a simple chatbot into the agent economy, where autonomous tools are driving real revenue for companies like Radisson and Lowe's. Mm-hmm. And finally, we confronted the multi-platform reality. The fact that the future of work involves managing Google, Microsoft, and OpenAI simultaneously with rigorous enterprise-grade governance.
It is a fundamental rewiring of human capital and software execution. The tools are no longer just passive instruments. They are active participants in the business model.
They really are. And, you know, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Building on something we touched on earlier regarding that agent marketplace.
Oh, this is a great point.
The report noted that companies can monetize their pre-built agents.
Okay.
So think about this from the perspective of your own daily work. If your internal team builds a hyper-efficient AI agent today to solve a very specific workflow problem you have.
Say, a brilliant little agent that perfectly untangles your messy regional supply chain logistics.
Right. Could that internal tool become your company's most profitable external product tomorrow?
That is the multi-million dollar question that redefines corporate strategy.
If every company has the capability to build and license highly specialized agents, are we all about to accidentally become AI software vendors?
It's very possible.
It completely redefines what a company actually sells. Soon, That phantom invisible workforce executing your workflows might not just be saving you time and payroll. They might be the very product you're taking to market.
It is something every forward-thinking leader needs to be evaluating right now.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us on this exploration of the Technigian Report and the enterprise AI landscape. Keep questioning the mechanics of how the tools around you are evolving and always stay curious. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.